This call is now being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect now.
Thank you very much, Vince. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is the Policy and Implementation Working Group call on the 9th of April, 2014. On the call today, we have Olivier Coamy, Chuck Gomes, Michael Graham, Nick Steinbach, J. Scott Evans, Amir Sadir, and Avi Doyen. Michelle Longdonau and Alan Greenberg have said that they will be able to partially join the call. And we have an apology from Wolf Rouge Knudden. From staff, we have Marika Koenigs, Mary Wong, and myself, Matthew Peregrin. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Yes, this is J. Scott Evans. I'm chairing this call today. So the first thing, we've had our roll call. The next thing is to see if anyone has any updates to their statement of interest that they need to state to the group.
J. Scott, this is Michael. I have submitted changes to my statement of interest, but there really is nothing substantive that would affect this group.
Okay. Thank you. All right. With regards to that, we'll move to the next portion of the agenda. For anyone who would like to see the agenda as it's laid out in the email that you were sent on Monday, it's in the far right-hand box under Agenda. We're now going to go to a recap of the Singapore meeting and the work that was done there, and I'm going to ask Chuck, who chaired that portion of the meeting, if he would do that, but also fill us in on how the presentation to the GNSO Council went.
Okay, this is Chuck, and thanks, J. Scott. And let me, before I start talking about Singapore, ask whether me updating the working group meeting in Singapore is needed. And what I'm getting at is that those who weren't in the meeting, and I know there are some, one or two on this call that weren't there, if you listen to the transcript listen to the recording or read the transcript, you may not need me to do that. But so if somebody would like me to specifically go over that, and it would be useful to you, even if it's just one person, I'm happy to do that. But there's no use doing it if you don't need it. So let me pause and see if anybody, you can either, I guess, just speak out if you would like me to give a little summary.
Chuck, this is Michael, and I think I did attend remotely. The one thing that I think would be useful and to have on the recording as well is just a summary of where you ended up at the end of that meeting as far as what we were doing going forward with the various things that were in front of us, including the draft principles that I think were presented and discussed.
Thanks, Michael. I'd be happy to do that. We spent a lot of time on definitions, so we didn't get very far through the principles. There was a lot of wordsmithing going on. It was good, and we did have some visitors, and even got, I think, one new participant in the working group, or at least he said he was going to join. Principles, we mainly just covered the overarching principle. We didn't get very far past that. And of course, the plan today on the agenda is just to pick up where we left off. I think we probably should talk about that. I mean, most of us here have reviewed these before, and the working group as a whole reviewed them. We were just looking for external input, so maybe the best thing for us to do, and we can talk about that after I give my Singapore update, it might be just to go ahead and take the definitions, or excuse me, the principles as we propose them and move ahead. And then if there are suggested changes, we can make those as they seem appropriate or as we get input. So that, I mean, we took the full 90 minutes in Singapore, and I thought it was a constructive meeting. I'm curious if anybody thinks it wasn't, let us know how we could improve it. because that's always welcome.
Well, I see him. Amr has his hand up.
I just saw that myself. Go ahead, Amr.
Thanks, J. Scott. Thanks, Chuck. This is Amr. I was just going to suggest that if we do want to have a recap of what we did at the face-to-face in Singapore, maybe we could just very quickly go over some of the changes that were made in the overarching principles and just point them out. I doubt that would take too long. It wasn't terribly a lot that was changed, I think. Thanks.
That's a good suggestion, Amr. Marika has the document up in Adobe with the comments and changes and so forth. So, Marika, would you be willing to just highlight those?
This is Marika. Yeah, sure. So the changes that were made related to the first, second, and third paragraph of Section A, the overarching principle. So the first change that was made is in the first sentence, the words bottom up were added, and in the second sentence, I've been trying to see if I can see in the linked sections, I think the word internet governance was removed and replaced by DNS, so that sentence now reads, since inception, ICANN has embraced the bottom-up multi-stakeholder model as a framework for the development of inclusive global DNS policy. And we also removed the quotation marks, as initially this was taken as a quote, but as we made changes to it, it has basically become our own language as such. And we also made some changes to the start of the second paragraph, which now reads, ICANN's implementation of the multi-stakeholder model is composed of different internet stakeholders from around the world, organized in various supporting organizations, stakeholder groups, constituencies, and advisory committees, and utilizes a bottom-up consensus-based policy development processes open to anyone willing to participate. And I realize now that we probably need to remove the A and have it as a utilizes bottom-up consensus-based policy development processes. So updated in the next version. And in the last paragraph of this section, we just basically added in the case of GNSO, and also further down in the sentence, we added GNSO to clarify that the PDP refers to the GNSO PDP. And I believe those were the only changes we made based on the discussion in Singapore.
Thank you, Marika. Anybody want to comment on any of those changes?
Well, this is Jay Scott.
Go ahead, Jay Scott. I'm sorry.
I'm looking at it. It looks like that now paragraph 2 I'm not sure, because before I thought what paragraph that first sentence did is it sort of talked about multi-stakeholder model is a general term. And then the second paragraph then talked about how that worked at ICANN. You know, like democracy in the United States as opposed to democracy in another jurisdiction. But it looks like now we say that we say at the DNS policy, and then we say the multi-stakeholder model. Okay, maybe I'm missing. It's so small. Is there a period after policy?
Where at, J. Scott?
Between policy and multi-stakeholder model and the
in the first paragraph.
Yes, there is.
Okay, all right. Then everything I've just said is ridiculous.
Thanks for being frank. That's good. Yeah, and notice that the second paragraph really does correspond to the definition for the mm-hmm. ICANN multi-stakeholder mm-hmm. model.
Okay. All right.
That's okay. Thanks for clearing it up for yourself. Anybody else have a comment or question? Okay, it doesn't look like we accomplished very much in 90 minutes, does it? But keep in mind that we spent a lot of time. I had hoped to spend 10, 15 minutes on definitions, and we spent an hour? And it was mainly wordsmithing. And for those that aren't aware, what we decided to do, and it was a suggestion by Marika that I think was very good, rather than continue to wordsmith and so forth, she put the suggestions, comments, questions, and so forth in that fourth column of the definitions table that we can consider when we get towards the end and we want to finalize all of these.
Okay.
So they're captured, and we will act on them when we finalize the definitions, or if we need to sooner than that in the future. Jay Scott, did you start to say something?
I just noticed, this is Jay Scott, that looks like Greg and Nick were late to the audio, and I just wanted to bring them up to speed. We've just been talking about what went on in Singapore and where that meeting ended. For the two of you that seem to have joined the audio later.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Jay Scott.
So if there are no more questions, what I'll do is I'll just briefly say that in the update to the council, it went, I think, smoothly. Marika did a good job of preparing just a few slides, and we stayed within our 15-minute window, which I think they appreciated, and just basically gave them a status of where we're at and where we're heading, including the possibility that we may need to do the next three sub-teams serially instead of in parallel.
All right. Thank you, Chuck. Now, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but the comments that we are considering that are outlined in this redline version that are in green are from Mikey O'Connor, correct? And that's because this was given to him, and he reviewed it, and he made comments. And so
yeah,
are those?
This is Chuck, J. Scott. Yes, and keep in mind that we sent the principles out in advance, not only to the council, but ask everybody to distribute them to their stakeholder groups and constituencies and so forth. And he was kind enough to submit his comments in advance, and so I think was it Amr and I both responded, or I'm not sure who, in advance as well. And Mikey was not able to attend our working group meeting, so but we did discuss his comments in the meeting.
Okay. All right. And so the work that needs to be done with regards to the principles is to continue going through them with regards to Mikey's comments. Is that correct?
That's a good suggestion. I think that is worthwhile doing. Beyond that, we've all gone through them before, so unless somebody has something new, we probably don't need to do that. But that suggestion is very good.
Okay. All right. So we've finished. Does anyone have any questions for Chuck with regards to the Singapore meeting? Okay. Well, then our next agenda item is to continue to review the working principles. And so I would suggest, and I see that, oh, I'm sorry, Amr?
Yeah, thanks, Jay Scott. This is Amr. I just the question that I posted in the chat regarding the updated comments in the fourth column of the definitions document, I might have missed it, but has that document been circulated, the updated version, with the added comments? I don't recall seeing it, but I really might have missed it. Has it been sent out to the working group list?
I Marika. Thought I saw it, but let me let Marika
comment. She has her hand up. Marika, it shows on... Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, this is Marika. So I do believe, but I'll double-check that I indeed send that together with the revised version of the working principle.
Yeah, I thought I saw it too, and it would be on the wiki as well, would it not?
I believe last week, but I didn't attach it again to the agenda for maybe that I can recirculate it, but I'll definitely get it posted on the wiki as well.
Okay. All right.
This is Amr again. Thanks, Marika. I was trying to check my inbox before the call started, but the last document I seem to have is the updated principles document that you circulated before the face-to-face in Singapore. I can't seem to find any documents on that were sent out to us following that. But like I said, it might be lost somewhere in my inbox. I need to take a better look. Thanks.
Right. So let's move on to the comments that were made by Mikey. They're listed here as Mike O'Connor, but I think he goes by Mikey. This is Jay Scott, for the record. I would ask, Chuck, did you all discuss his comments with regards to the overarching principle that you all worked on in Singapore?
Yes, this is Chuck. Yes, we did. We just didn't go beyond that.
Okay.
To his other comments.
All right. So now we need to go down to go through the document and look for their additional comments. It looks like in Section B, there are some comments with regards to B4. And 5. I'm correct. So in B4 is whilst implementation processes such need not always function in a purely bottom-up manner, in all cases the relevant policy development body, paren, E period, G period, the chartering organization, close paren, must have the opportunity to be involved during the implementation, bracket, to advocate that policies are implemented as recommended by the GNSO. There's a comment from Rika that this is still being discussed, and she asks, could somebody expand on this, why advocate rather than ensure, and why not as approved by the board at the end? And I don't see a response to any of those comments. Amr? Is that an old hand or is that a new hand?
No, that's a new hand in response to this question.
Okay, please.
And, advocate was a word that I suggested because I don't recall what the previous word we had here was, but I remember that quite a few of the working group members had a problem with it, and I had suggested advocate, but then Mikey, I think, suggested replace that with ensure, which I thought was quite interesting, actually, because it would change the principle in a way, because advocating is one thing, but ensuring is actually setting a principle that this would actually be required. And I was wondering whether what different working group members would think of this. Because I feel it does change the principle somewhat, and I'm not sure how others would feel about that. But this is a principle that we as a working group could agree on at this time. Thanks.
Okay, Chuck.
Thanks. You'll notice this comment in the I guess it's comment 6 there from me. I don't think we can ensure. We really can't. I mean, we obviously would want to try to have as much influence on that as we can, but ultimately we don't have final say. So I don't think we can ensure. So I actually think the word advocate is the most accurate.
Are there any other opinions? I see Amr's hand has gone up.
No, thanks, Jay Scott. This is Amr. Just that question, really, not an opinion. But advocating, I suppose, is where we are today, is the current state where we would need, where the GNSO would advocate that implementation of a policy developed through the GNSO's PDP be followed as recommended. Ensuring would mean that we are changing a principle that is changing it from what from the way it currently exists, if I'm not mistaken. My question is this something that this working group can actually do at this point? And if it is, do we want to? So I leave it to others to discuss and decide. Thanks.
Chuck?
Thanks. Good comments and questions, Amr. Actually, this would require a change in the bylaws, because it's the bylaws that gives the board the final say. And there's not very much in the bylaws with regard to implementation yet. That's where we're really tasked. And I'll say what I said on the list. It's not that I don't believe it's the task of this working group to change the PDP, and the PDP is contained in the bylaws. We do have kind of a related task to consider how non-PDP policy issues or advice would be handled, but we're not tasked with changing the PDP, and this would require a change to the PDP to allow us to use the word ensure. Now, please correct me if you think I got that wrong.
Before we have any correction, unless that's what Greg intends to do, I see that Greg Chapman's hand is up.
This is...
there you are.
Yes, Greg Chapman, for the record. Not to get too wordsmithy on this sentence, but we are talking about having the policy development body, such as the GNSO, have the opportunity to be involved during implementation, which I would think would come after the board has approved the policy recommendations. And, you know, it's a separate issue of whether the board can revise policy recommendations before they pass them. You know, which is maybe what's happening with the IGO situation, but, you know, by and large, the implementation is what happens, I'm thinking, you know, after the board has voted, and once it's gone back to, you know, staff, you know, to start filling in the blanks that, you know, policy inevitably, you know, leaves at the next level below policy.
Okay, Mary?
Thanks, J. Scott. First, just to note that Marika's lost her connection, so she's dialing back in case you're wondering whether she's abandoned you all. She hasn't. To the point, I guess, Chuck, what you're getting at in terms of the advocate versus insurer really is what is the proper role for the chartering organization. And it seems to me that the role or the task that everyone is striving to describe here is really some sort of monitoring function on the part of the chartering organization. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. It does seem that advocate might conjure up some concept of, you know, negotiating or continuing to debate the policies that are already adopted. So that may not be the intention here. So I'm wondering if some sort of monitoring function is what's being striven for here, and if so, whether that would be the appropriate word to use. It does seem to me, actually, that the bigger question really is what Marika's raised about whether the policies are the ones as recommended by the GNSO or as adopted by the board, which, you know, 90% of the time is the same thing, but perhaps to be accurate, the implementation only comes after the board's adopted the recommendations. So maybe that's really where the shift of the attention ought to be.
Thank you, Mary. Almer?
Thanks, Jay Scott. This is Almer. I also wanted to add another point, where I think is a problem with ensure, is that although GTLD policy is developed in the GNSO and later approved by the board prior to implementation, there are other parts of the community that are supposed to provide advice to the board on GTLD policy, different ACs and SOs, including, for example, the GAC and ALAC. And having a principal here ensuring that implementation is as per GNSO requirements kind of cancels out the roles of other parts of the community. And I'm not sure that this is something we would want to do. And I would think that this is a point in argument against having a word like ensure put here. Just a thought. Thanks.
Greg?
Greg Chatton again. I think this, in essence, may, you know, be striking close to the heart of what this working group was set up to talk about. In a sense, you know, if there is something that is, you know, consensus policy, capital P policy, that was recommended by the relevant policy development body, in this case, you know, the DNSO, and approved by the board, then subsequent changes, subsequent implementation that was at least arguably violating that policy would be a significant issue, and you know, would either require a change in policy or, you know, at the very least, some form of advocacy, protest, or more by the organization. You know, of course, it gets to the question of then, you know, what is policy versus implementation. But, you know, if there was something that was truly egregious, let's say something that, you know, there was full consensus in the GNSO that a particular implementation, you know, clearly violated the policy, you know, as it was written by the GNSO and approved by the board. You know, shouldn't we be ensuring that there is, you know, compliance? And if not, you know, what is the whole policy development process? You know, what's the value of it?
All right. Thank you, Greg. Chuck?
Yeah, I want to come back to what Mary said, and I agree, Mary, that there should be a responsibility of monitoring, but I think it's more than just monitoring, and Greg described it pretty well in what he just said. We monitor to see if policy is being implemented as it was written, but if we find something that is not according to what we thought we wrote anyway, then we should do more than just monitor. We should decide how to take action, how to have some influence there. And it's right. Part of this is getting to what we're going to work on in the next few months. But at the same time, whereas I don't support the word ensure, I'm not locked into the word advocate. So if we want to say monitor and some other word or just some other word, I'm okay with other suggestions.
Well, this is Jay Scott. I tend to think monitor, at least for a principle, an overarching sort of guiding principle, what that monitoring should entail, wouldn't that be in our recommendation? It doesn't need to be in our principle. So we could say monitor here, and then we would recommend, say, principle was to monitor. Monitor should have the following functions, X, Y, and Z. If it's ensure, then we can say we think it should be to ensure, and the following changes are recommended with bylaws or whatever. But as a principle, I thought the whole purpose of this entire exercise was this particular point, was that there was concern within the community that when a policy was implemented, there were decisions made that were being quote unquote categorized as implementation, never going back to the chartering organization, that those in the chartering organization felt were creating new policy, and that they should have been consulted before that step was taken. So I think this is the heart of the entire matter. What monitor will mean at the end of this process will be in our recommendation. So I would say, why don't we just say monitor now, and then we can define what that concept means in our recommendation. That would be my suggestion. I see Mr. Chatton has his hand up again.
I would just comment briefly, this is Greg, that monitor just strikes me as a passive word, which is why I kind of, even though I don't love advocate, and ensure may be too tough a standard, we need something more than monitor, or maybe it's a two-part job, which is to monitor in the first place and to advocate when it looks like things have gone off the rails. You know, with the goal of ensuring that the policy, that the implementation matches the policy.
Alan.
Thank you, and I apologize for walking into this discussion halfway through. I'm having trouble with the words like advocate. I'm not sure what formal authority the GNSO has, although perhaps any policy we come up with at this point, if it's ratified by the board, becomes the policy, it becomes the authority we have. But I think our challenge is to identify that something is not in accordance with what, with the intent and or the words of a policy. I don't think we have the whip or the punishment mechanism to make sure that it's followed, but our job is to identify it and raise it to the, I'll say generically, the powers that be. So it's stronger than advocate, but it's not something that we have authority to carry out, at least not at this point anyway. Maybe we want to recommend we have the authority to carry out, but I can't say it's a principle today.
Mary?
I'm not sure if that helps any.
Thanks, J. Scott. Alan said part of what I was going to raise, not as an opinion, obviously, but as something for the group to consider. And supplemental to that, the other question I had, which is related to what Alan's just said, is whether or not this principle B4 then flows into principle B5, which may be how this set of principles are going to be read, that in principle 4, we talk about the role, the chartering organization having some sort of continuing role. And in Principle 5, it goes on to be more specific as to what sort of role that might be. And if not, then maybe there's something here that the group may want to capture. Perhaps it's J. Scott, as you said, and at least the recommendations, if not the general principles.
Okay, I see in the chat there's been a recommendation to say, during implementation, to monitor and advise that policies are implemented as recommended by the GNSO. What does the group think about that? Greg, is that your hand again?
Yeah, it's my hand again, Greg Shatton. I think advise is getting, you know, closer where we are. I was, you know, put in the chat that I thought maybe provide guidance. And guidance is, you know, maybe a term that, you know, is a term of art or should be a term of art, since there's, you know, we've had discussions of policy guidance being a semi-official or official thing that the GNSO does. So maybe this is a place where such policy guidance would be appropriate, not merely kind of advising like, you know, some sort of a sideline authority. But, you know, generally getting there. The one other point I wanted to make was, you know, Alan said that, you know, these aren't the policies we have today, but I, you know, just scrolled back up the document and these are the policies we're proposing. So this is, you know, more of our, this is our wish list, and not our, summary of the current status. Thank you.
Right? Alan.
I'm not quite sure what Greg just said, because I thought we were working on principles, and I guess guidance is good because advice has other meanings in our context, so maybe guidance is the right word. But since we've defined guidance in a specific way, we better make sure that it's not in conflict with that definition. Thank you.
Do we have the definitions available? As policy guidance was one of the defined terms, is it not, Chuck?
Yeah, Chuck again. By the way, I'm okay with providing guidance instead of advise. And obviously, I think everybody realizes this, if we do make these changes, we've got to fix the rest of the sentence so that it fits, but that's probably easy to do if we agree on the right words.
Okay, Amr.
Thanks, this is Amr. I would actually recommend that at this time we not use the term guidance, because policy guidance is one of the chartering questions this working group is supposed to address, and we're not there yet, so we don't want to use guidance at this point now and then later rethink how it's going to be used. And when we did define policy guidance, we did pretty much define it in line with the language in the working group charter, which is that this is something the working group will still develop and come to some conclusion of what it is. I would like to just also say that, as I said in the chat, that I prefer advocate to advise in this situation. Advise, I feel, is like monitor, is a bit too passive. I think that when policy recommendations are made by the GNSO and passed to the board, especially in cases where there may be conflict in between the GNSO and the ICANN board on how implementation should be handled, I think advising is probably too weak a word. I think advocate is a better word on what the GNSO should be doing in situations like that, and I would prefer not to use advice. Thanks.
Greg.
I'm going to advise and advocate that we do use policy guidance. Especially, you know, if you look, I just pasted the definition from the definitions document into the chat. I think that we should be using the definitions we're developing in the definitions when we talk about the principles, because ultimately the documents should be integrated. And this, if we're not going to use the definitions and the principles, then why are we doing the definitions? So, you know, I think that looking at what policy guidance is defined as, it actually seems to fit quite well with this circumstance. Thank you.
Greg, is that the posting that you have? This is Jay Scott. Policy guidance, colon?
Yes, that is a direct paste from the document, which was also sent by Marika on 4-2, along with the document that's on the screen.
Seems to fit to me, but I'm going to go now to Alan.
I really worry about us getting into a discussion of semantics here when I think we all understand what we're trying to say. I would be quite happy to use the term guidance and a footnote saying this is the English word guidance. It may or may not correspond to our formal definition of guidance. You know, and the recommendation, and if it doesn't, we need to change the word. But I don't think we're going to gain a lot by spending another half hour talking about what word to use instead. I think we understand, at least I think we're agreeing on generally what we mean, and I think we can cover it with a footnote to make so that there's no conflict with the charter issue or the definition of guidance.
All right, Amr?
Maybe that's a chickening out way of doing this, but I think we have better, more productive things to do with our time. Thank you.
Thanks. This is Amr. I wouldn't mind Alan's suggestion, as long as we do make it clear that it is just the English word guidance. In retrospect, again, the last comment that I made regarding the definition of policy guidance, I think the charter makes what we need to deal with in terms of policy guidance slightly clearer than the definition that we provided, because my understanding of policy guidance here is that this is some sort of a process that is not the same as the regular policy development process. If I may just quote the charter, is a process for developing GTLD policy, perhaps in the form of policy guidance, including criteria for when it would be appropriate to use such a process for developing policy other than consensus policy instead of a GNSO policy development process. So I think this is clearly a different sort of framework for developing policy and not to be confused for a part of the regular PDP. That was my main problem with using this term here. Thanks.
Yeah, this is Jay Scott. I don't see anyone's hands up. I see that there's a discussion going on, but what Amr just described is exactly what our definition of policy guidance states it is. It's involvement outside of the PDP. It is providing input outside of a formal PDP with regards to capital P policy. So I tend to agree with Chuck and Greg that policy guidance as defined in our definition seems to fit perfectly here. I see that we have Alan. I saw agree go up and then go away quickly, so I take it that may have been an error.
No, it wasn't agree. I just didn't think I needed to keep it up.
Okay, and then I have Greg.
Maybe I should have just put up an agree, but I think, you know, since these are working documents, I think we should put policy guidance in here with a capital P and a capital G. And, you know, we're going to be coming back to these documents over time, but I think this is where policy guidance, as our working definition has it, would apply, and so our working principles should use that. You know, at the end of the day, we're, you know, going to be voting on, or, you know, having a consensus process on these documents and whatever else we develop, but I think, you know, as working documents, we should, you know, be using the terms we're developing, which is why we tried to develop terms so that we could use terms that had meanings we had agreed on. So, you know, that's my thinking. Thanks.
Amr?
Thanks, this is Amr, and I promise this is the last comment I make on this point, because I don't want to bog the working group down on this. But in the charter, it seems that it's very clear that policy guidance is associated with developing policy, not with addressing policy that has already been developed and is now being implemented. That's where I'm trying to go with this, and it is very clear in the charter that this is the case. So I always assumed that we would deal with policy guidance later on in the course of the working group in a different way, but it doesn't seem to me to be a method to address policy that has already been developed, and we shouldn't. I would advise against using it here in the principles in that fashion. Thanks.
Alan.
Thank you. I think Amr's argument for why we shouldn't use it is exactly what the reason we should use it. We're talking about a process here where we have identified that the GNSO has set policy, it has been approved, and we believe that it is not being followed. And therefore, it is guidance to say, this is policy which needs to be followed because you're not following it. So I think it fits. But as I said earlier, let's put a footnote to make sure that we're not that in our principles we're not presupposing the outcome of the process, and, you know, move on and make sure it works afterwards.
Okay. Well, I'm going to, okay, Greg, one last comment, then I'm going to put this to a consensus vote.
I wish I didn't put my hand up on this, but I did, and I do, you know, now looked at the charter, and it does say a process for developing GTLD policy, perhaps in the form of quote-unquote policy guidance, capital P, capital G, including criteria for when it would be appropriate to use such process for developing policy other than consensus policy instead of a GNSO policy development process. So to the extent that we view the charter as having kind of occupied the field of defining policy guidance as being a alternate policy development process as opposed to a policy, a way of advising on when a policy after it's been developed. I now have to agree with Amr and disagree with myself. Unless we want to view the charter as being, kind of as not forcing us, if policy guidance is the best term for this, using it for this and using some other term for the development of policy outside a PDP, or maybe we should call this policy advice with a capital P, capital A, and then I think our definitions document also drifted away from the charter, and that probably what I pasted in there, may need to be tweaked, or at least there needs to be a distinction between guidance, development of policy outside the PDP, and advice on policy that's already been developed as an implementation. They are two different concepts. They should have two different terms. I don't know what they should be, but Amr's right. We can't use the same term to mean both, so we got to figure out what we're calling those two things. Thanks.
Okay. All right, so I am going to ask now whether we can get agreement to amend B4 to read at the end, to be involved during implementation, to provide guidance with footnotes stating that this is the standard dictionary term of guidance, that policies are implemented as recommended by the GNSO. Looking to my, I've got Greg.
Sorry, J. Scott, this is Summer. Could you repeat that again?
Sure. Picking up at to be involved during implementation, then the amended wording would read to provide guidance with a footnote stating that the term guidance is used in its standard dictionary definition, that policies are implemented as recommended by the GNSO. We've got Greg and Alan that have hit the agree button. Anybody else that has?
No, this is Michael. I'd agree.
Okay. And me, that's Chuck and Nick.
I'm fine with it. I think we probably need to, this is Chuck, we probably need to fix the rest of the sentence so it fits a little bit better, maybe by saying if policies are not implemented as recommended by the GNSO.
Yeah, okay. All right. I don't know. I see Aubrey is here, but I don't know if she has the ability to chime in one way or other. Nick, I see that we've heard from you. And Alan, Amr? Okay, Amr does not agree. Olivier, if you can't vote within the system, if you could let us know verbally. Okay. Well, based on this, it looks like we have at least strong support for putting in guidance with a footnote. We can send that to the rest of the group and let them know that that was, that there was support for this with a minority of those participating in the call having voiced some concern. Okay, so now we go to B5. In cases where new or additional policy issues are introduced during an implementation process, these issues should be communicated to the relevant policy development body, e.g., the chartering organization, prior to the completion of the implementation process. Bracket. This will be a point further deliberated by the working group. Any working group recommendations of the squad will eventually need to be reflected in the final version of this principle. And it looks as if Mikey made the comment merely communicated.
doesn't this leave the door pretty wide open for adventure? To which Chuck responded, yes, it's up to the GNSO with the advice of the council to define the adventure. And it looks like, I can't tell if Armour's comment is related to this as well. There seems to be a bit of a dialogue here.
Hi, J. Scott, this is Armour. I'm responding to Greg's question in the chat.
Well, yeah, I was looking at your comment in the document itself from March.
Oh, sorry about
16.
Yeah, sorry about that.
So, Mikey raises the point of whether if these should only be communicated to the relevant policy development process. Chuck says yes, and then it's up to that chartering organization to figure out what to do once that's been communicated. Do others think that that's what is intended here and what we want? Greg, your hand is up. I see Alan has said he agrees. Greg?
Yeah, I think this goes to the point that Amr and I were discussing in the chat, which is also what the comment about the adventure was going to, which is, as a matter of proposed principles, you know, shouldn't there be at least a principle that the body that provided the original policy and that may be providing the guidance that the policy is not being implemented properly should have, you know, at least some ability to act and take some action. What that action is, I'm not sure what it is, but it should be within our principles that the policy development body should have a defined activity, you know, which in some sense could be that the guidance or the advice, you know, as defined, you know, has a certain amount of weight and needs to be followed unless there's, you know, an issue. But just being told something and then just saying, you know, kind of speaking down a well after you've been told that, hey, you know, our implementation doesn't match your policy, that's kind of useless.
Okay. Any other thoughts? Because I do think that this is J. Scott Evans for the record. I do think, again, that boils down to the whole crux, the whole central point of this working group is, or that at least, if it's not the central point of it, at least it was one of the central motivators from my understanding of this working group, is that very frustration, right? Is that nobody could tell you if the charting organization could react and how they could react. In other words, could they say no? Can't do that. Nobody could answer that question. And so that's what we were put here to figure out. And I guess we need to understand is that something we as a working group, as Greg has suggested, want to include as a fundamental principle? Any comment? Should the charting organization have the ability to do more than just discuss this? Amr?
Hi, this is Amr. I do believe so. Yes, I do. But I was just wondering if it is helpful, because I think that there are a few other principles down further into the document that might address this.
Okay.
And so might complement this in some way. And I'm trying to look for them. I remember they were there. I think they're in D1, perhaps B and C.
Okay.
And D2C? So D1B says changes to GNSO policy recommendations need to be examined on where they fall in the spectrum of policy and implementation. Mere administrative updates errors, corrections, and clarifications to approve GNSO policy recommendations should be treated in a transparent manner as implementation issues without any requirement for public consultation except the right for the community to challenge whether such updates were indeed simply administrative updates, error corrections, or clarifications. So that's one aspect in which this might be addressed. And then in C...
Well, what about if we just amended this bracketed language to say this point will be further deliberated by the working group, any recommendations in this regard will eventually need to be reflected in the final version of the principle, and put some sort of notation that it will, any recommendation will be aligned with other principles outlined in this document, because and just leave it as an open question at this point, and then that relating back to and for what Amr has pointed out can be done during the working group process. Okay, I've got two yeses and I've got Mary's hand up.
Hi, thanks, Jay Scott. So, not on your specific point, but following generally on Amr's and others' comments, it may be helpful at the point that you've just mentioned later on when we talk about the other principles to note that under the ICANN bylaws, there's no specific provision for what happens during the implementation phase. The Annex A of the ICANN bylaws pretty much stops at implementation of policy, and it says it's the board that gives authorization or direction to staff to take all necessary steps to implement. So, you know, one way of reading that is that, you know, there's nothing to stop, obviously, the council or any organization from monitoring and raising questions and taking action as necessary, whether that be advocating or others. Then secondly, for the GNSO in the PDP manual, it does say that a periodic assessment of whether policies are working or not is highly advisable. And again, that doesn't get very specific, but I thought these two things may be helpful to the group going forward, especially to Amr's comments and to Chuck's point earlier about the chartering organization being able to do more than simply receive the communication.
Thank you, Mary. Greg?
This is Greg Shatton. I think it should be clear, whatever note we put here as a placeholder, that we're talking about the, you know, what the chartering organization can do in this case when they're presented with implementation that contradicts policy, and how, you know, including the weight that would be given to any guidance by the organization and their participation in any implementation events.
So we just want to make sure that that note robustly reflects that there's an open issue as to how the charting organization responds to the issue. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think, and I'm probably backing up a little bit, so sorry about that. But we need to keep in mind that I think a principle that we had unanimous agreement on was that the multi-stakeholder process doesn't end when policy development ends. And if we keep that in mind, to be consistent with that, there needs to be not only the opportunity but the responsibility for the policy development body to continue to be part of an active part of the implementation process. So I think these principles that we've been wordsmithing all kind of reinforce that basic principle that policy development doesn't end when implementation starts.
Amr has suggested that in our parenthetical we reference the additional principles that might be applicable here, and that is, and he's listed those in the chat. If we could make sure that makes it into this parenthetical, that would be great. Okay.
Let's move on to C1, policy standards. Let's see. As outlined in the ICANN bylaws, comma, the GNSO is responsible for developing and recommending to the ICANN board substantive policies relating to generic top-level domains. As such, comma, GTLD policy development should not take place outside of the GNSO. There you have, it looks like, trying to follow the green line. Looks like it goes to Marika's comment. It says that the working group is still evaluating whether this principle should be included. So I guess this is where we need to decide if we want to include this. Marika, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and this is Rick. Just to clarify, that is actually not my comment, but because I merged different documents that had, I think, Mikey's comments, and I think Amar's response or Chuck's response to those. I think this is. I think the yellow is basically
the summary.
Leave it. Yeah, or maybe Amar's response or Mikey's comment. I think the green is probably Mikey's comment, and the yellow, I think, is Amar's response to that. But I said they come up as my comments as I merge the documents.
Okay.
They're actually not my personal one.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification for the record. I appreciate that. And I see that Amar says we do need to make this decision because this principle was not previously agreed on by the full working group. And he had suggested this one be placed here. So, we need to decide whether this is something that we want to put in. I see Amr's hand is up.
Yep, thanks, Jay Scott. This is Amr. I just thought it would be worthwhile to have a principle in the document saying that GTLD policy should not be developed outside of the GNSO, and which is why I thought it was missing from the original draft, and I was hoping to get feedback on this from the full working group, so please shoot away.
All right. Does anyone have a problem with putting this in? If you would indicate in the Adobe Connect room, I'd appreciate it by putting an X up. Okay, seeing none, I'm going to assume that we have consensus that this should, C1A will remain in the document. All right. So now we go to C1B. That's correct. GNSO policy recommendations should be clear and unambiguous with performance targets as standards. And we have several comments with regard to that. Unfortunately, I'm not having trouble expanding these comments. I can't expand them, I guess. I don't have control to do that. Marika, can you expand them, like comment 12, I think? Looks like it relates to the word standards. It looks like there may be 6 comments aligned with that.
Yeah, it doesn't, Rick. I'm not able to do that on the document. It's on the screen. It's a PDF. I don't know if Mary is able to share the Word version that would allow that, and otherwise I'll have to refer you to the actual document I send on the list.
All right. Because I can't tell you what the question is that's been raised because I can't get to it. So I'm not sure what comment we're addressing here. Does anyone know?
Well, this is Greg. I can read the comments out.
Okay.
I've got the Word document open in front of
Thank
me.
Thank you.
So for which one are we looking at, MO12? Which would you like to start with?
I've just got, MO12.
It looks like there are several comments linked to the word standards. Mm-hmm. The first one being MO12, which says, as well as definitions of the data and metrics required to evaluate that performance, connects to the data and metrics working group. The next comment after that is CG13, might make a good footnote. After that, AE14, agreed, but my feeling is that this is just the principle. Defining the standard at this point might be a little too specific. It'd take the working group into detailed discussion that still needs to take place at a later stage in the working group's work. And the last comment linked MO15R14 is coordination would be good to avoid gaps and overlaps between working groups.
Okay. This is Jay Scott. I tend to agree with Chuck that perhaps we want to say that the issue of what standards are will have to be further developed and can be done in coordination with other groups that are working on such standards. But I'll throw it to the group and see. I see that Greg and Amr tend to agree with my position. Anyone else have a thought, a comment, or concern? Okay. So it looks like we'll do a footnote there. Excuse me. Okay. Then the next thing that I show is C2B. There's a, I can't tell if that's parentheses or a bracket. It looks more like a bracketed language to me. The GNSO, comma, with the assistance of policy staff, comma, must provide timely notification to the rest of the community about policy development efforts and or implementation processes in which it is engaged. It is the responsibility of the other supporting organizations and advisory committees and stakeholders in general to determine whether or not they are impacted by that activity and to provide their input in a timely manner. Comment. It looks like we have one from Mikey. Well, let's see. I'm trying to see who was first. It looks like coordination would be good to avoid. Oh, let's see. No. Connects the GNSO, the GAC GNSO early engagement group. Chuck says agreed, and Amr says yes, absolutely, but the same response is both too specific at this stage. So, thoughts on this language? Amr. And then we'll go to Michael.
This is Amr. I agree with Mikey and his comments. However, I do think this is too specific at this stage. Right now, what we are saying is that the GNSO does need to take into consideration input from other SOs and ACs, and that they should provide this in a timely manner. However, to get too specific regarding things like the GAC GNSO Early Engagement Consultative Group is, I feel at this point, too specific, and perhaps something that we will discuss later on in the details of the working group's work. But right now we're just discussing principles, and as is, I think this concern of GAC GNSO early engagement is covered by this principle. So that's why I made the comment that it's too specific. Thanks.
Okay, so just to be clear, this is Jay Scott talking to Amr. You're saying that the current language is fine, unamended.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. Next, I have Michael Graham.
Yeah, I was just going to voice, I guess, my concern. It's somewhat similar to Amr's. With the second sentence where we're saying it is the responsibility to determine whether or not they are impacted by that activity and to provide their input, it seems to me that the principle is that the GNSO must provide this notification in order to inform the community so that the community, SOs or ACs, however we want to refer to it, can take appropriate action. Here we seem to be saying what that appropriate action is, and in doubt. To that extent, I think it is a little bit too specific for the principle here.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's too specific. It seems be pretty general stuff to me. What specifically is too specific?
Michael.
saying that it is their responsibility to determine whether they're impacted and to provide their input in a timely manner. I mean, purpose of GNSO making this available is so that they can determine that. And I suppose that what we're saying here is that once GNSO does that, that the principle is that's what it needs to do. It does not need to take any other action unless one of these other groups expresses their concern. And I suppose if that's the case, then the language might not be seen as too specific at this point.
Yeah, this is Chuck again. Here we're actually trying to make clear situations that have actually occurred many times in policy development efforts. And we just want to make it clear in the principles that, the GNSO has a responsibility in a policy development effort to make sure all of the supporting organizations and ACs and so forth are aware of the thing, but there's also a responsibility on those organizations to respond in a timely manner. Otherwise, it's, you know, you can't just delay work indefinitely. So there's a dual responsibility here. And then, of course, if we receive input, the last sentence says, you know, it's our responsibility, this is a very important principle, to consider it. So this item with all three or four sentences is really intended to deal with real, very real problems that have occurred in the policy development effort.
All right. Amar.
This is Amar. Yeah, in case I wasn't clear, I believe the language that is already present in the principle is good language. What I was referring to as too specific was Mikey's comment of including GAC GNSO early engagement. So, yeah, I think the principle does clearly state that the GNSO should reach out to different SOs and ACs on ongoing policies, and that these SOs and ACs need to provide their input in a timely manner. And I think that's great. I think it's wonderful. What I thought was too specific was adding something as specific as, and this should include GAC GNSO early engagement. But going over Mikey's comment now connects to the GAC GNSO early engagement group. That might have just been a comment and not a recommendation from him to add anything. And so all I'm saying is that the current language is perfectly fine. Thanks.
Yeah, and this is Chuck. I said that in the chat a little bit ago. I think all Mikey was doing was noting that, hey, this what you guys are talking about connects with what's going on. I don't think he was suggesting a change at all.
Okay. Well, we're going to leave this the way it is then. It is 1:20 at this point, and we still need to discuss our approach for tackling the additional groups, and so there had been a discussion prior to the recording beginning that we would, it seemed, especially given at the time that we were having discussion, there were only four people present on the call, three of which were chairs or vice chairs, that perhaps the best way to move forward was to move forward as an entire working group rather than assigning specific subgroups to deal with the identified subgroup issues. We would just deal with them serially, and in dealing with the broad issue that is assigned to a subgroup, we felt like there were some smaller issues within that that could use a group to draft or work on a identified issue that the working group came up with. They could then splinter off and work on those smaller issues and come back to the larger group, but that the work of the subteam would now just be issue-driven rather than subteam-driven. The entire working group would do them serially. And I'm seeing a lot of green check marks with regards to this plan. So I take it that people seem to be happy with that. In fact,
For the first time in my career, I think I got an applause from Avi Doria, so I want everyone to know that. And I also got a smiley face from Greg Shatton and a smiley face from Avery. So I would assume that that is the best way to go. I agree that it is the best way to go. So another thing, so that's the way we'll go, and we can let the broader group know in the minutes that that's the way we've determined to proceed. And so I think the first thing we'll do is go through and finish. We don't have much, but our next call we can go through and finish the working principles, and then we can just move right on into the next sub-team and begin that work. Is there agreement that that's the way we should... I see Chuck saying yes, and I saw a bunch of greens before, so it looks like that's the way we will go ahead and proceed. During this whole process, of course, I just want to reemphasize that you hopefully will be communicating with the groups and constituencies and stakeholder groups from which you devolve or arrive to us from, and if they have anything they want us to consider as you're reporting out this work, we hope that you will bring that forward to the entire group so that considerations can be considered during the work. That would be good to keep things moving along in a forward momentum. Okay, so that looks like we've answered that question. The next agenda item is whether there's any other business. And I'm not hearing any. So our next meeting will be when, Natalie? Is she still with us? If not, Mary or Marika?
J. Scott, this is Mary. I believe it would be scheduled for 2 weeks from now, which would make that the 23rd.
Hello, this is Natalie. So I was on mute. It would be the 23rd of April at 19 UTC at the same time as today.
Okay. I see Michael's hand is up.
A point of organization. I wonder, you know, I'm trying to think back, if part of our scheduling of our calls every 2 weeks was based on the assumption that there would be sub-teams also working, and if that's the case, whether we want to adjust that timing at all.
I see Amr is also agreeing with that. I would suggest that my suggestion would be that we do adjust that, but we give notice to the full working group that that will be occurring. And so we hold our next meeting on the 23rd, and then we begin to hold them weekly. But I'm more than willing to be overruled if people think... Yes, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to clarify whether if once we go to a weekly schedule, if that would also be 90 minutes, or then we would switch to 60-minute calls.
I think we should do our next call in 2 weeks, keep it 90 minutes, see what progress we make, and then we can determine, we might determine at the end of each call whether it will be a 60 or 90-minute call, depending on what we need to accomplish. I think, you know, telling everyone that they should reserve 90 minutes, but, you know, they could get a notification that call would only be 60 minutes, but they would know ahead of time, so that we can just continue moving forward. Okay. Is that it? So our next call is going to be April 23rd. Oh, Amr, I'm sorry.
Yeah, thanks, J. Scott. Summer. Just a point that Olivia made in the chat that April 23rd would conflict with Net Mundial, and I was just wondering if there were a number of working group members who would be there and not be able to participate on that date. Just wondering, just raising the point. Thanks.
I see that Greg Shatton says that he will be affected. and Olivier. I don't know. We probably need to be, why don't we put that to the entire working group, that question, and if it's an inconvenient time, we can find an alternate time, even if it's next week. Is that an amenable solution? Hearing no objections, Natalie and Marika and Mary, if we could just send out a group telling what our plan is, but we've got a question with regards to the 23rd, so they can choose between the 16th and the 23rd, which one's more convenient. And then we'll have a call then. Okay. Any other comments? Concerns? Is there any other business that anyone would like to discuss? Hearing none, I'm going to bring this meeting to a close 3 minutes early. And we will reconvene on either the 16th or the 23rd, depending on what the group says, with regards to the email that will be going out from our staff liaisons. And with that, I thank each and every one of you for your time this morning, this evening, or this afternoon. And we appreciate it, and we can bring this call to a close. Thank you.